Chapter 1. London, late April 1814. Vengeance isn't sweet. Ian Warwick tipped his champagne flute and took a lengthy swallow. It didn't help. He eyed the pale amber liquid. The insipid wine masquerading as champagne did little to wash away the bitterness lingering in his soul. A young woman partnered by a fusty old lord whirled by. Ian's gaze followed her. Evangeline Carruthers. After seeking her the better part of an hour, he'd finally found her, or, more on point, he'd had her pointed out to him. A half-smile tugged his lips upwards as he watched the aged podger trying to steer her into a secluded alcove behind a wall of potted greenery. Even across the ballroom, Ian saw her tromp on the ancient fellow's foot. That had been no accident. For a fleeting moment, his smile stretched into a grin of genuine amusement. It vanished just as quickly. He wasn't here to be amused, especially by her. He lounged against the ballroom's intricately carved doorframe and glanced around the opulent room. The light of dozens of candles reflected off the crystal chandeliers and framed mirrors gilding one side of the room. The dancers were a blur of pulsing colours before the reflective glass. This was the first social event he'd attended since resigning his commission in His Majesty's Army. The first since he'd assumed the duties of the 7th Viscount Warwick. The first since his father succumbed to heart failure, brought on by Jeff's death. Ian sought Miss Carruthers again. His gaze lingered. His younger brother was dead because of her. Like a rapier between his ribs, pain pierced him, sharp and fierce, hitching the air in his lungs. He exhaled, a slow, deliberate breath. Narrowing his eyes, he lifted the flute to his lips. A lieutenant reeking of strong spirits staggered from the ballroom and ploughed into him. Ian choked on the wine trickling down his throat.
"Good God, man," he said, between strangled coughs. "Excuse me, my lord, don't feel well, too hot."
Swallowing against the stinging in his throat, Ian beckoned to a liveried servant.
"Help that chap, please."
He pointed to the lieutenant weaving his way through the doorway and careening into any guest unfortunate enough to be in his path. The crimson-uniformed soldier travelled but a dozen steps more before casting up his accounts on the glossy marble floor. Gentlemen raised their voices in protest as ladies yanked their skirts aside, squawking in outrage. Ian curved his lips again. Poor sot. He'd done it up brown, literally. The ballroom was much too warm, the crush of guests intolerable. He inhaled, and his nose twitched. The place stank of sweat, unwashed bodies, and an abundance of cloying perfume. He smirked. No doubt the ball would be touted a haute-ton success, despite the lieutenant's messy mishap. Ian cared little. Everything about this folderol left him cold. If the circumstances weren't pressing, he wouldn't be here. He shouldn't be here, with his brother dead and buried less than a month, his father scarcely a fortnight. Ian's breach of mourning protocol bordered on ruinous, not that he gave a damn. Miss Carruthers' retribution could not wait. Nor could the explanation Prinny demanded for Jeff's role in the Duke of Painswort's death. Painswort, a royal pain in the arse, had been a particular favourite of the Prince Regent's. Ian grimaced. Lecherous cohorts. At any rate, Prinny was irate, so Ian cast off propriety, abandoned the peace and quiet of his country house, Summersfield, and ventured into this fray, despite the Ton's disapproval of his presence. He'd deal with Miss Carruthers, then pacify His Majesty. Turning, he rested his shoulder against the wall, the deep saffron-coloured wallpaper very much like the colour of the mess in the process of being cleared away. His gaze swept the room once more. Lord, how he despised these garish affairs, the pretentiousness, the fake smiles, the gossip, the social climbing. Every bit added to the bad taste in his mouth. He felt the fool, snooping round to determine who Miss Carruthers was. He'd stooped to eavesdropping on the spinsterish misses gossiping along the dance floor's periphery. When they turned their eager, expectant faces to him, He'd fled like a frightened dog with its tail between its legs.